I've come to the realization that it is not easy to build a church. His church. For man's church, it is easy. You can do it any way you like. But to build his church, nobody could do it. No one can do it by himself. No matter how capable you are, no matter how great and powerful you may be, how much money you have, you may be a great organizer, you may be an administrator. I think we've seen it all. It's not going to work. For this reason, in every one of these points, right from the very beginning, we see, firstly, of Adam before he fell. And remember, Adam was a figure of him who was to come, which is Christ. How did Adam get Eve? Tell me. By his ability, by his being gifted to organize? To create Eve by himself? Do you think Adam is capable? No. But he was willing to do one thing. You know what? The one thing is, he was willing to lay down his life for it. He was willing to be put to sleep. Are you willing? In the church life, you're willing to be put to sleep? You know what it means to be put to sleep? To die. You become nothing. You're just willing to lay down your soul life, just like the Lord. He laid down his life for the church. That's how he got the church. Not by his divine power and big bang, and all of a sudden the church was there. No. He died on the cross. He was willing to lay down his life. That is the way Eve was produced, by Adam being willing to die. So a lot of people, I can't do it. I'm not capable. I said, well, that's great. At least you have that qualification of not being capable. But that's still not good enough. Right. The real qualification is, Karina, are you willing to go to sleep? To be put to sleep? If not, then no Eve will come out. No Eve will come out. Really. Because God's way to produce the church is for his son to go to the cross and die. Only that way can the life really come out. Not by a great sharing or the ministry or, oh my goodness. Today everybody claims he has a ministry and that ministry and this ministry. What kind of ministry? I don't care what kind of a ministry. You better go to sleep. So, whether it's the church in Singapore, or church in Quezon City, or whatever church it is, tell the brothers, well, you know what you need to do? Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Because only if you're willing to die can this life come out. You don't believe? Let us read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 8, let me read to you, and you just follow in your Bible. Paul said, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the what? The dying of the Lord Jesus. The putting to sleep. The dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to? To? Are you willing? Are you willing? Paul? Amen? It's not easy, right? It's not easy. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Therefore, so that's the result. Then death is working in us, but life in you. This is the principle. You still want to build the church in Quezon City? Johan? What does it mean? What does it mean? It means you're willing to go to sleep. Willing to be put to death. I've seen so many people in the last 40 some years. Capable, great, big speakers, do a lot of work, doing a lot of things, activists, but they are not willing to go to sleep. Not willing to be put to sleep. So what is the result at the very end? No church life. Everything finally will be destroyed and just became nothing. Everything that you do now, later on, will be in vain. Nothing will come out of it because you're not willing to go to sleep like Adam before he fell. Right? So, what about the one who builds the ark? Who do you think God is going to call to build the ark? A good carpenter? I better choose someone in that generation who knows how to build, who is handy, a handyman. Who is a handyman here? Let's see. Who is a handyman? John Yao is a good handyman. Let's choose him to build. You're someone who's capable, who is experienced in working with wood. Wow, who knows what to do. He is strong. He can cut down wood. God is going to choose him. And maybe we'll ask somebody to help. Well, is this the kind of choice that God is going to do? What did he choose? Not a good carpenter, but a just man. Someone who is perfect in his generation, who walks with God. This is the kind of people we need today for the building of the church. We don't need capable speakers. Are you a capable speaker? Is there a capable speaker in the church in Quezon City? Karina? Well, you should say, praise the Lord, we don't have a capable speaker. You know, you should praise the Lord for that, because the capable speakers are capable of big troubles. At the end, they'll be giving you a lot of troubles. So what do you want to do? Hire a good speaker? Oh, my goodness. Is this the kind of people that God needs to build the ark? Do you want that kind of people? So what do you need in Quezon City? We need to hire a great speaker, a good pastor who graduated in Harvard Theological Cemetery. You hire him to come and lead the church, he is going to lead you to the cemetery. Sometimes I regret because the church life doesn't need that kind of people. No. You need a person like Noah. Only such a person will find grace before God. A person who is just, who is perfect, who just doesn't go about doing a lot of crazy things, and a person who walks with God. This is what we need in order to build the ark. And how many such person can you find today? You tell me, during the time of Noah, how many such person can God find? Grace. 20, 100 such people? How many? One. It's not a doctrine that in every age God only used one man. No, forget about that crazy doctrine. That's a crazy doctrine. I heard that before. It's a crazy doctrine. But God couldn't find a just man. There's so many capable men, but a just man, a person who walks with God, is hard for God to find. He couldn't find one. Finally, there was only one. There are not too many of them. Unfortunately. So are you disappointed, John, that not too many are there? In Isaiah chapter 6, during the time of Isaiah, there are so many capable people there. But God was asking, whom can we send? God was seeking. For what? For capable people? If it's a matter of being capable, there are so many capable people. So many smart guys. Don't you think there are enough smart people? But it's not a matter of being smart. Are you smart? It's a matter of what? Being faithful. Being faithful. So it's your choice whether you want to be faithful. You have no choice to be smart. Some people, you're going to say, I choose to be smart. That doesn't make you smart, okay? Just because you choose to be smart, you cannot be smart. But you definitely can choose to be faithful. You can choose to be faithful. God has to wait. Until Moses became 80 years old, he thought, I'm hopeless. I can't do anything anymore. When Moses was young, he was educated in Pharaoh's home. He got the best education. And he had the power because he's the daughter. I mean, he's the so-called adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. My goodness, he could even ascend to the throne one day. So he was powerful, well-educated. All the wealth and riches of Egypt was at his disposal. Did God use him at that time? No. He was such a person was useless for God. Useless for God. And he thought he could use his power to save the people of Israel, and he killed an Egyptian. Was that God's way? No, it wasn't God's way. So God has to wait until Moses was 80, not 40. But 80, at the age of 80, I don't think you think you're smart. You think, I'm over the hill. I can't do anything anymore. I'm 80. That was the time God came to Moses. And that's why Moses, when God told Moses, Moses, you go. I'm going to send you. Moses says, no, please. Send somebody else. I can't do it. I can't make it. And he said, I'm a man of slow speech. I can't speak anymore. I'm 80. What do you want me to say to Pharaoh? Why didn't you call me when I was 25 and 40? I might have said, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I could do it. But now I'm 80 and you're asking me to go. I can't do anything anymore. That is the kind of person that God would use to bring his people out and faithful to do everything that God has commanded him to do. So what kind of a person are you? Capable? Then God has to wait until you are not that capable and strong anymore. How about that? Forty years ago, I thought, let's go. Now, I can't do anything. What can you do? What can you do? Right? So, you have to realize in this outline what kind of a person God needs for the building of his tabernacle. He doesn't need Moses when he was 40 years of age. So God used Moses when he was 80, and he used the last 40 years from 80 to 120 years old. The last 40 years of his life. Praise the Lord. But then, in the last 40 years of his life, all of his strength came from God. It's no longer his own strength, not his own ability, not his own power. Remember, not by power nor by might. Not the horses of Pharaoh and not the legs of men. So where did his strength come from? From the living God. So when Moses told God, I am a man of slow speech, I can't do anything. God was angry. God says, who made the mouth of man? And so what power, what authority, based upon what will Moses go and see Pharaoh? Everything spoken and done by Moses was according to the instructions of God. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful way. This is God's way, not man's way. So if we are still so capable, the Lord will just put you aside and wait. So learn right now. Otherwise, you think you're not capable, so you just do nothing for God. You just do nothing. And you're distracted and you go into the world. You'll be so disgusted with yourself. I can't do it, so you just go to the world. Or you think you're so capable and you do everything yourself, and at the end it came out a monster. Right? So you all have to learn to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to put myself aside. I want to learn to live Christ. Paul, immediately after he touched the Lord, he learned to live by him. Before, he thought he was so strong and he was there persecuting the churches and trying to capture all the Christians and put them in prison. He was really powerful. But once he met the Lord in a real way, he became blinded. Before he was a leader, he was a leader. Now he has to be led. And he was there, helpless. And he realized only the Lord can be his life and his strength. So you can really see what kind of a person God needs to fulfill his purpose. Right. So, Adam, Noah, and we have who? Moses. Praise the Lord. Moses. So, a lot of people thought Moses was a great leader and they want to be like Moses. They're not qualified to be like Moses. I heard many years ago, somebody says, Brother so-and-so is the Moses of the whole world. And I'm the Moses of South America. Goodness sake. Because in their mind, Moses was a great leader. They didn't realize that Moses was the meekest man on earth. Why? Because he realized, I'm nothing, I can do nothing. How can a man who is nothing be so proud and think he's everything? So Moses, in the Bible, was known to be the meekest man on earth. So he doesn't fight with anybody. He doesn't argue with anybody. He doesn't try to assume authority among God's people, and nothing. He was the meekest man. So every time anything happens, God fought for him. God stood for Moses, because Moses is not going to stand for himself. He's not going to justify himself. So God justified for him. When Miriam and Aaron said, well, God doesn't speak only through Moses. He also speaks through all of us here. And through us, we are prophets too. So what did Moses say? Nothing. Moses didn't justify himself. It was God who justified himself. Moses who justified Moses. If there is any prophet among you, God said, if there is any prophet among you, I will be the one to determine, not you. I will be the one to determine. And God said, to the other, I only speak in the dark, not directly, but to Moses, I speak with him face to face. So, people may claim they are Moses. I don't care how they claim it. It's not what you claim. It's not what you claim. Moses was not only faithful. Thank you. He was meek. He was the meekest man on earth. And he was faithful in all of God's house. This is the kind of people that God needs for the building up of his tabernacle today. Otherwise, you're going to add your thoughts into it and why this color? I don't like it. So you change it from red to, I don't know what, black or yellow. You can change the dimension and you can... Oh my goodness, at the end when the tabernacle is done, God will say, what is this? What is this that you have built? If you go to Europe, you can see some of the cathedrals. They look like a demonic home, a place for demons. So dark and full of demonic heads and all that, and you get scared. You know, many years ago, my oldest daughter was just hardly 3 years old. We went to England to visit the saints there. We stopped by Canterbury. And it's a famous place. So we, is Mary here? Mary, where is Mary? Mary was there, yes. So we took Sharon with us, and we stopped there, and we went into, we want to go into Canterbury. I was holding Sharon's hand, so we were walking to the cathedral, and Sharon refused to go in. And you know what she said? Hardly 3 years old. This is Papa. This is Tod here. She spoke to me in German. It is death here. I was shocked. I said, how could a three-year-old, hardly a three-year-old girl, tell me that it's death here? What does she know about death? But it came out of her mouth. I don't want to go in here. It's death here. I told her, you're right, let's go out. And so we just about face and walked out of the gate there and waited outside until everybody else came out. For us adults, we already, cultured. For us, we lost all kinds of feeling there. And we thought, wow, such a nice architecture, you know, how many hundred of years now? And we started to appreciate the outward things, but for a little girl like that, she sensed something else. Right. So we have to realize that for God's building, God needs a special kind of people. And here, praise the Lord, it was Moses. It was Moses. And to be Moses doesn't mean that you become a great leader. No, no, this is man's corrupted thought. No. Right. And now we come to the building of the temple. And again, for the building of the temple, God is seeking for a certain kind of people like David, a man who is according to his heart. A man who follows God's instructions. He doesn't need a powerful man, but he needs a man who listens to the Lord. This is the difference between Saul and David. I don't know if you have read the verses for Samuel, have you? Right. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, you can see Saul was appointed as the first king. But he lost his kingship. Why? Firstly, because he was afraid of men more than he was afraid of God. God told him to utterly destroy Amalek because of what Amalek did to his people, to God's people. But instead, firstly, he kept King Agag. Agag, he's supposed to be the first one he kills. But it happens that he's the one he kept alive. I wonder what for. You know? And then God told him to kill everyone, including all the cattle and all the beasts. And what he did was he kept the best of the sheep, and with a very wonderful intention, oh, this is to offer up to God. You think God wants that? You think Saul did not know what God has told him to do? Oh, he knew very well. So when Samuel came to him, Saul says, no, no, I did what God told me. Samuel says, And what is Agag doing? And what about all this fat sheep and all these goats and all the cattle there? Why, he says, well, this is so that we can offer it up to God. What did Samuel say? Do you think God desires sacrifices and offerings more than obedience? And rebellion, he says, is worse than witchcraft. Worse than witchcraft. You think witchcraft is bad enough, right? But there's something worse than witchcraft. It is not following God's instructions. Then Saul confessed, I did that because I was afraid of the people. That is where the tale came out. There's always a reason, a hidden agenda. Outwardly, oh, it's for God to offer up to God. But that was not the real reason. The real reason is always something else. I was afraid of the people. That's why I did that. Then Samuel pronounced God's judgment. Because of that, you will lose your kingship and the kingdom is taken away from you. Then God found a man according to God's heart. That means he was looking and looking and looking, you know, for how long? Since God's people entered into the good land, for almost 500 years. For 450 years, the people of Israel were without a king. And so God used the judges to rule over them. Actually, God was supposed to be their king. But people of Israel didn't want that. So for 450 years there, at the end of the time of the judges, everyone was doing what is right with their own eyes. Then the people told Samuel, we want to have a king, just like the nations, they have a king. And they rejected God to be their king. Can you imagine that? Who could have been a better king than God himself? And they didn't want God to be the king. They want to have a physical king that they can see. So God appointed Saul, and Saul ruled for about 40 years. So you add it together, 490 years. Then God found David. Why? For 490 years, God couldn't find a man after his own heart. Poor God. Poor God, because everybody is just doing what is right in his own eyes. Can you sympathize with God? And finally, God found a man after his own heart. Let's read. Now let us read Acts chapter 13. Verse 22 to 39. So after so many years in Quezon City, I hope that God will find a group of people who is after his own heart. He gave all the history there, you know, Yes, 13. Paul told the history there. After 40 years in the wilderness, etc., right in verse 18 and then verse 20. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel, the prophet. Can you imagine that? And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. For how many years? For 40 years. 490 years. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. How about that? How about that? Amen? So, it's not a matter of being so capable. It's not good, because if you're so capable, you do your own thing. You're wiser than God. You be God's counselor. At the end, you become God. Horrible. You become God. You even want to take God's place. You become God. But David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will? How wonderful it is. This is the kind of man God needs. Not a capable one, but an obedient one, a submissive one. You don't need to be so capable to be submissive. Just do whatever he tells you to do. Isn't that hard? That isn't hard, is it? You don't have to think what you should do. You don't have to invent something. You don't have to do anything. Just do whatever he says. That's all you need to do. You just have to follow his instructions. And from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. My, how wonderful. How wonderful. Out of the David's seed comes the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is God's way. This is God's way. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes to see something here. This is why in the beginning of each topic in this outline, we wrote down the person who was involved, chosen by God to do the job. So, suppose you were the interviewer. Who's going to build the ark? Okay. Schubert, why don't you do some interviewing and see who is going to build the ark. Here is a person who is not very capable, but he is very righteous, you say. But you have no experience with wood. So, out you go. And then somebody who comes who is very experienced, but he's a thief. He'll be stealing the best wood and put it behind and use terrible wood here and thinking, well, I'm going to use this wood and build the ark. You're going to trust him? You're not going to trust him. So which one are you going to use? Right? So God's choice is always different than your choice. Learn to choose according to God's way. This is the divine principle behind all these things. Can you imagine 500 years after they entered into the good land, nobody thought about building God's temple. Although before they enter into the good land, God told them, when you enter a good land, you cannot sacrifice anywhere. But you should look for a place where God, the Lord, has chosen to place His name there. And there you must bring all of your offerings. But nobody cared for that. So you can realize today how many among God's people have a real, genuine heart to build up God's church according to His word. How many can you find doing that? I don't think you can find too many. Everybody prefers to be in the traditional place. That's where I grew up. That's where my great-grandfather went. My grandfather went. My father went. So I'm here. Not because God wants you to be there. It's because your great-great-grandfather was already there. And what if he is in prison, your great-great-grandfather? He is in prison, and then your great-grandfather also is in prison, and your father is also in prison. You want to be there too? You want to be so traditional? My great-grandfather was a Baptist, and so my grandfather was a Baptist, and my father was a Baptist, so I'm also a Baptist. Is this your choice? What if your great-grandfather made a wrong choice? There was a minister, I was just telling him, in Baden-Württemberg, where Stuttgart is. And his name is the Devil. That's his last name, the Devil. His great-grandfather's name is Devil, and his grandfather's name is Devil. His father's name is the Devil. Now his name is also the Devil. What are you going to do if your grandfather's name is the Devil and your father's name is the Devil? You want to be called the Devil? And so in the newspaper, there in the big newspapers, it says the Devils agreed with a Bundesfederal minister, the federal president. So the Devil agrees with the federal president. If I were here, I'm going to change my name. Hey, I don't want to be called the Devil. You want to be called the Devil? I'll change my name. I'll go to the city hall and change my name. If the judge says, why? The judge? Would you like to be called the Judge Devil? Won't you also change your name, Your Honor? Or would you like to be called the Devil? So don't just do things because your great-great-grandfather was there and he was there. No, you have to find out the truth for yourself. So may the Lord really open our eyes. Amen. After God's heart. Wonderful. So you can really see also 1 Samuel chapter 13, you can read it for yourself, right? And Psalm 89, you can really see, praise the Lord. And all of these verses prove that out of such a man, David, Christ was brought forth. Eventually, he became a type of Christ, the real king, whose throne will endure forever. A wonderful man, David. And Solomon, known for his wisdom. And there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, and Luke chapter 11, you can really see Christ is the real Solomon, a greater Solomon, because in Christ is hidden the whole treasure of wisdom and knowledge, 1,000,000,000 times more than Solomon. Solomon, in his wisdom, is just a type of Christ. No one could be wiser than Christ, than our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's God Himself. He knows everything, even what's going to happen tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you? Do you have that wisdom? Do you know what's going to happen next week? That's why we made a lot of mistakes, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So, may the Lord really open your eyes and really see, right? For God's building, we need a faithful man like David, a man according to God's heart, who will do the will of God to the dot. And that was Christ. Christ really did the will of God. Not anyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom, but those who, what? Do the will of my Father in heaven. And then we need a lot of wisdom. Where is your wisdom going to come from? Let's read Colossians. For the young people, it's always good to know. That's why Christ, with all of His riches, you have to know this Christ is not just a Savior. In chapter 2, in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians here, right, verse 3, the mystery of God, which is actually Christ. The New King James didn't translate this well, in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of dollars and pesos. No. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to have the right knowledge, don't go to the library. You go to Christ, you go to the living Christ, because in Him is the real treasure. You just go to read somebody's books. How do you know that this man is speaking the right thing? But if you come to Christ, in Him is hidden all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. Whatever we need today for the building up of the church, where are you going to get the wisdom? Where do you get the wisdom? Where is your source of wisdom? The library? Where do you get the wisdom to know the Bible? Oh, I know the group of people that they thought they already have all the wisdom. It's all written there in that volume. And do you know God's wisdom is a million times more than those few volumes? And then you're not even sure whether the things in those volumes are 100% correct. But if you know the living Christ, you go to Him, and Him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of the past, the present, and even the future. Do you have the wisdom and the treasure of knowledge of what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom? Nobody knows. Show me a book of what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom, in 1,000 years, what's going to happen. The Bible even didn't say anything about it. It says you're going to reign with Him. Then what's going to happen? Well, you better go to Him, because He knows. He knows what the future is going to be. What about new heaven and new earth? What's going to happen there? We just know it's going to be a new heaven and new earth. But how does it look like? And what's going to happen? People also still cars there. Is a Mercedes-Benz? What's going to happen to Benz and all that? Will we still be driving in the millennial kingdom? Who's going to tell you? What's going to happen? Nobody knows what's going to happen. Who has that wisdom and knowledge? Nobody knows. But there is one who knows. So we need a real Solomon today for God's building. So what are we going to do in the church life? What about next week? What about next year? How is the church in Quezon City going to go on? How? Oh, what are you going to do? Go to Germany and see how they do it? Or you go to Singapore? Or you go to... Where are you going to learn how to go on in Quezon City? How are you going to go on in the church in Quezon City? Who is your theologian? And who is your pastor? And what theological cemetery? Where are you going to go? Who is going to teach you? Well, you need Solomon, the real Solomon. Christ is the greater Solomon. If you don't know him, you have no way. If you know him, he has a whole treasure of wisdom and knowledge to show you what to do. That's why you need to keep in touch with him. You need to abide in him. This is the way the church is going to go on, not by your oath. I don't know what's installed in here. There's a lot of crazy thing installed in your brain, you know that. I've seen a lot of people, oh my goodness, you never know what comes out of here. Oh Lord Jesus, let's not be distracted. Now, one thing that is very important, again for us to find out, let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David and Solomon. Although David is such a great king. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. It was God who will determine who builds. David wanted to build. In verse 3, but God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. So you can really see, if you have shed so much blood, you are disqualified to build God's house. Otherwise, you're going to kill a lot of brothers and sisters because your hand is full of blood. David is used to killing all the enemies. He's a man of warrior. He's a fighter. He destroys all of God's enemies. You're a fighter. You're going to fight with, even with your own saints, you're going to fight with the brothers and sisters all the time. You know, in the church life, I know some people who are really quarreling all the time, fighting all the time. Don't you know? Right? Don't you know such people? Ah, yes, you do. My goodness, there is no peace in the church life because of such people who is fighting all the time. That's not good. So if you're fighting all the time, the Lord told David, you shed so much blood, you're used to fighting, and now you better not. Better not. No. But your son, Solomon, however, the Lord God, Israel, chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. Etc. But then of all my sons he chose Solomon. Praise the Lord. Now Solomon is the one to build. Verse 6. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father. Etc. Now, the main thing is this in verse 11. Then David gave his son Solomon the what? The plans for the vestibule, for the porches, for its houses, its treasures, treasuries, the upper chambers, the inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seats. Everything was preordained. And the plans for all that he had, by whom? By his own mind. All that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the houses of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the works of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of the service in the house of the Lord, he gave gold by weights for the things of gold, etc., etc., etc. Everything was determined by whom? By whom? By the Holy Spirit of God. My goodness. This is what we need to learn today. My burden in this conference is not to show you the details of the temple built. Maybe one day we will do that. But in this conference, one basic principle, which is very important, and you need to learn this principle if you want to build a church in Quezon City, is don't build it according to your own ways and your own plans and what you think is good, and don't learn from, don't import it from other places, and because they may not be doing the right thing. For all you know, you may import things made in not made in the heavenlies, but made in Japan or China or Singapore or whatever. No. You learn to go to the Holy Spirit, because this is the function of the Holy Spirit, to lead you into all truth. Pray for the Spirit to show you. And David and Solomon, as great as they are, and Solomon known for his wisdom, God did not rely on the wisdom of Solomon to build his temple. And you better realize that, because man's wisdom is going to destroy God's temple. This is how serious it is. So, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. How wonderful it is, by the Spirit. I really love that little phrase. So to do everything, you can do your business. I don't care what method you do your business. But please don't bring in the way you do your business into building God's house. This is not going to work. No bribery in the house of God. No malakas in the house of God. No such ways, no such method, no, nothing, no, everything in the house of God, you do it according to God's way. No fear of man, no respect of persons. What is right is right, what is wrong, it doesn't matter from whom it came from. It doesn't mean that we don't like to follow one another. I will definitely follow you if you're right in following the Lord. But if you're not, then forget about it. I don't care who you are. Right? So this is the type of people the Lord needs to build up His church. And all of you young people, I think it's not hard to understand, right? Is it clear? Amen? Right? I hope it's clear. Don't use the Chinese ways. No Filipino ways. No American ways. No German ways. No Singaporean ways. But we follow the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. Let me tell you, if you do that, your work may not be very great. You may not build a mega church, maybe a mini church. But at least that mini church, you won't have any trouble. You will not have any judgment from the Lord. And the Lord will be there. And this is the main thing. The Lord will be there. And so as soon as Solomon built the house and dedicated the house to the Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And remember, this house was built according to the place where God has chosen on Mount Zion, in Mount Moriah. Ararat is where the ark landed. But Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered up his son. How wonderful it is.
And that was exactly the spot where David, after he made a mistake, he repented before the Lord and stopped God's judgment right in front of the field where Mount Moriah is. And David paid a price to Arwana, the name of that person who owns that field. And he bought that place, and that place is Mount Moriah, where the temple was supposed to be built. So God will not allow his temple to just be built anywhere else. Israel is so big from north to south. Of course, it's a very small country. But to find a place to build the temple is big. Where are you going to build the temple? Who made the choice? Who choose? Dan would say, we are up here north. Well, the temple should be built here in the north. Why should it be built in south? It's so far away. And other tribes will say, why there and why north? Let's build it in the middle. It's fair enough for everybody. Well, then how can it be fair? No place will be fair, because if it's built in the middle, well, the tribe who lives there didn't have to travel. So it's still unfair. So whatever you build, it is not going to be fair. So whose choice should it be? It is God's choice. And what kind of a place is it? It is the place where Abraham sacrificed his son, Isaac, to God. Praise the Lord. That's the best place. This is the best place to build God's temple. No other place is better. Praise the Lord. Don't you want that choice, or do you have other choice? You have a better choice than God? You think you're wiser than God? I don't think so, right? None of us are any wiser than God. So, you see, David did everything according to God's choice. He didn't tell Solomon, you are very wise, so please consider how to build it. And if you see anything lacking or you think it's not so good, please feel free to make all the changes. No. He gave Solomon all the plan. Praise the Lord. So today, in order to build God's house, we need his plan and not man's plan. Okay? It's 10 o'clock. Praise the Lord. The prayer.